You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidiebere Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
The title of this morning's sermon is The Holy Spirit and I. The Holy Spirit and I. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit and I. You know, why, when I was asking God, let me even tell you how this topic came about. As I was praying for this service, one night, it was near like in a trance, and the Holy Spirit gave me the topic. He says, Holy Spirit. And I said, Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit and I. He's seeking for a relationship. Praise the Lord. And I want you to pay attention seriously. Last week, or rather we said this month of March and maybe part of April, we are looking at the church. Praise the Lord. And what we said last week is that the church, how powerful the church ought to be, is dependent on the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. It is the Holy Spirit that gives power. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not do what? Prevail. He goes on to tell us that whatever thing that we lose here on earth is losing in heaven. And whatever thing that we bind here on earth is bound where? In heaven. Praise the Lord. And that means that the Holy Spirit is that power that works in the church. And who are the church? We are the church. Praise the Lord. The text will be taken from Acts 1, 1 to 19. Acts 9, 1 to 19. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. And ye, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Praise the Lord. You know, when a man is about to depart, that is when he calls his children and tell them what he considers the most important thing to him. Jesus Christ has been with the disciples for 3 years plus. He was crucified. He died. On the third day, he rose again. And for 40 days, he was with them, talking to them, interacting with them. But then again, he says that you don't have to go anywhere to preach. Wow. I thought he said they should go all over the world and preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. He said you have to stay here until you receive the Holy Spirit before you step out. That is only when you have received power that you will be able to go out to witness. You know, when I reflected over this, I said, wow. A lot of us do not receive the Holy Spirit because we ask for the Holy Spirit for selfish reasons. He said they should tarry until they receive the Holy Spirit. Then they will receive power to go out there and do the work that he has commanded you and I to do. And my question is this morning, the power of God is going to come upon you. When it comes, what will you do with it? Praise the Lord. What will you do with it? What will you do with it? Now, another question is, how many of us here know the Holy Spirit? How many of you of us here know the Holy Spirit? Bible calls him the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. The breath of the Almighty. He is called the Comforter. He is called the Eternal Spirit. The Good Spirit. Power of the Highest. Praise the Lord. Spirit of the Almighty God. Spirit of the Father. Spirit of life. Spirit of grace. Spirit of what? Prophecy. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of might and counsel. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Spirit of holiness. Spirit of burning. Spirit of glory. Spirit of revelation. Spirit of truth. Spirit of fire. Oil of joy. Finger of God. You see, I'm giving you some of the names of the Holy Spirit so that you can realize that you cannot do without him. Is it wisdom that you need? Who will you go to? Spirit of wisdom. Is it understanding that you need? Who will you go to? Spirit of understanding. Is it power that you want to? You have to go to the Holy Spirit. Because he's the Spirit of God. And that is why Jesus made it very clear that the church cannot move forward without the Holy Spirit. Because he is the Spirit of the Father and he is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died, rose on the third day, and ascended back into heaven, right? And he sent his Spirit to come and live in us, guide us, direct us, teach us. Meaning that without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Without him, we can do nothing. If you are here, you're a child of God. If you are here, you call yourself a Christian, and you don't have the Holy Spirit. Well, it's not even possible. Because he's the one that helps you to give your life to Christ. The moment you give your life to Christ, the Spirit comes. But what happens is the measure that you have. And you're here, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not giving your life to Christ. You don't have the Holy Spirit. Trust me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's important that you and I understand what this Spirit is all about. But what are the benefits of having the Holy Spirit? John 14:17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. It then tells me that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and guides us in all truth. You know, sometimes people think it's just one feeling like that. No. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He's a person, a personality. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, having been with us and left and said, I am coming back. I'm going to live with you. Jesus in you, the joy, the hope of what? Glory. That Jesus in you is who? The Holy Spirit. When we read in John 14, he says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the question this morning is, what measure of the Holy Spirit do you have as a Christian? John 16:13-14. Please be very fast with me. I have a lot of things to say. John 16:13-14. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. Let's stop there. Who will he hear from? Who? Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus has left, but he's still here with us, walking with you and I. So whatever he hears from Jesus, he releases to you. Are you with me? You see, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus Christ, and whatever he received from Jesus Christ, he shows you and I. And as a child of God, you cannot run these ways without the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He is our teacher. The next point. He is our teacher and reveals things to us. Remember, Bible says he's the comforter. He's our teacher. He is the spirit of revelation. John 14, 26 to 27. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatso I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That means on day-to-day activity, you must ask your teacher, oh, how do I go? What do I do? What do I eat? Praise the Lord. And he said he will guide us in all what? Things. So it means if you are leaving your house every day without the Holy Spirit, it's like being blindfolded and walking along the street. Is there any woman with a scarf here I can give us? Let's blindfold somebody. That one is on your neck, yes. Brother John, come. Can somebody blindfold him, please? Come and blindfold him. Come now. Okay. Maybe I took. Just tie, cover his eyes. Blindfold him. And I want to show you how some people go about activity every day. Okay. John, go and locate Rosemary. Come, I sure that thing is not open. No, be going. Allow him, allow him. Just go and locate Rosemary. You see how some people go about the activity every day when they leave the house without the Holy Spirit. Keep on going. Now, I want us to see. Do you know some people live their life, all their life like this? They leave their house every day blindfolded, not going out with the Holy Spirit. They will never find their way. They will never get to that level where God wants them to be. They will never get to their destination. And therefore their destiny is derailed because they leave the house without the Holy Spirit. John, come back. Untie him. So Holy Spirit leads you and I. So you cannot leave the house any day without the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you and I. But the question is, what is the measure that you have? Praise the Lord. You cannot understand Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. You know, for those who are not born again, preaching of the gospel is foolishness. You know? For them, they think it's for those who never. I had that problem. God help me. You know, I always confess. You know, by the time I got born again, I had my master's in engineering, very young and tender. And when I see people carrying big Bible, I say, these ones, maybe they've missed it. And it's their only hope. I don't know. You know, God, Holy Spirit got laughing at me and saying, don't worry, this Bible, you'll carry. My Bible is very big. Okay, it's in my office. Very big now. Bigger than the one that you're carrying. Because without Jesus, you are nothing. The day you die and breathe last, all your certificates will be worthless. Yes. All your wealth, everything you acquired will be worthless. The only question that you answer is, where will you spend your what? Eternity. The third point, Holy Spirit gives us strength and helps us to overcome sin and temptation. You cannot overcome sin or temptation in your own strength. The day you say, oh, I am strong, I have arrived, I can overcome temptation and sin, you have already fallen. You are already captured. Quote me. And I will show it, prove it to you in the Bible. Luke 4, 1 to 15. Before Jesus, I'm not going to read for time. It's a very long this thing. Before Jesus Christ entered the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, who took him? The Holy Spirit took him. When he finished, who brought him out? The Holy Spirit. Therefore, you cannot leave your house on any day and say, today I am going out and I will overcome sin and temptation without what? The Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Because the enemy we are fighting is a spirit being. Praise the Lord. He was full of wisdom before he was thrown down. But it's called the world or worldly wisdom. You and I have what we call divine wisdom. And that divine wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, it's Him that gives you that power to resist sin. It's Him that gives you that power to run away from evil. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. That's the next point. And exercise authority given to us by Jesus Christ. Jesus has told us that He has given the church authority to bind and to loose. Praise the Lord. But who releases this power? The Holy Spirit. What we read in Acts 1:5-8. He said, you wait until you receive power. And that means, by the time you are leaving this church today, for those who are truly expectant, right? You receive power. You cannot go out there and that unbeliever is tormenting your life. You cannot go out there and that guy that thinks he has small APC. Sorry, not APC, the party, please. You know, in those days, we call jazz APC. By his waist somewhere, will torment you. Do you know some people come to church with jazz on their waist? Why do I run this service like that? As a lady, maybe she came to try out her powers. As she came, as I lay hands on her, bam, it didn't took her, boom. You know, we tried, try several times to cast out the distance. He couldn't. We not took her off because he was distracting the entire service. When we got there, I discovered that there was beads, jars on her waist. What did you bring in here? Praise the Lord. People come to church for all kinds of reasons. But the Holy Spirit gives you that power to go out there, to do things, to witness for God. I love my brother's testimony the other day. He said he used to have that power, that zeal, to go out there and witness for the Almighty God. Suddenly, the zeal, boom, went. And he came that day. He said, Pastor, you know, when people come, because we pray for people after service. So I thought he was going to say, oh, Pastor, I need this. And I was really impressed when he said, I used to have power to go and witness. Suddenly, it's gone. I can't witness again. I said, Daddy, thank you. That's why the Holy Spirit loves it so much. Because that means the person understands the meaning of walking with the Holy Spirit. I said, Father, empower. I said, receive power to witness. And the next Sunday he came and said, suddenly the power came back. He could witness now unhindered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us power to cast out devils, demons. Luke 4:14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Matthew 12:28-29 says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom, is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first he bind a strong man and he will spoil his house? Jesus was telling them here. They said, he was doing miracles, casting out demons, praise the Lord, doing all kinds of things. And the Pharisees said, no, he was doing it by the, what? Power of Beelzebub. Wow. That's a dangerous place to be. You see God at work, you say it's the devil that's doing it. That's why Jesus said that there are some sins that are not forgiven by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was at work. He said, I do this by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the finger. That's why it was called the finger of God. Finger of God. Some of you here, that power is available to every one of us. Every believer here have that power. You go in the night, they're chasing you all over the dream with machete, cutlass. When you come out, you woke up, hey, pastor. Praise the Lord. You have the power. Tell your neighbor, you have the power. Just ask for it. And I remember, You know, one of my first political where I ministered in those days, you know, one of our members was pregnant and was taken to the hospital and was in labor. And she was in labor for a long time. And suddenly my phone rang. I was somewhere in the meeting. My phone rang. And a deacon, you know, full anointed deacon, was shouting, "Pastor A, Pastor A, we have emergency." I said, "What kind of emergency?" He said, "Ah, this woman has been in labor for a long time. Are you not a deacon? Turn your ID card. What did he say? You have the power to bind and cast." I said, "Lay hands on the woman." He put his hand. I said, "Put your hand on the stomach." And I decreed, in less than 5 minutes, she delivered. Then I used to tease him. Whenever I see him, I said, "Pastor A." That became his nickname. You have the power. You have been given the authority to bind and to do what? To loose. You have been given the power to cast away what? Demons. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power." Ah. Please project Luke 10:19. I want all of us to read it. Say, "Behold, I give unto you what? Power." Do your hand like this. Power. To train on serpents. Who is the serpent? The devil. You know, to train on serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when the devil comes, he says, "Devil, keep quiet." That's why I love when those the Methodists, the picture they used to draw. You see devil on the floor. Then Jesus like this with his leg on his head. That is where they got it from. You have been given power to tread upon what? The devil. So when that challenge comes, say, "Devil, you know where you are." Some people say, "Macha, macha." Sometimes we sing this song, we don't know where the authority comes from. We have been given the power to do what? Tread upon serpents and scorpions. And I love the other part of it. Is that an over all? Did it remain anyone? Do you know why you are more powerful than the devil and over all the powers of the enemy? Can anybody tell me? I've said it here at the beginning. Jesus in me. Remember, he said, "I dwell in you. That is why I send the Holy Spirit." So because Jesus Christ has defeated the devil, and we are seated with him on the right hand of God, he is beneath us. That is why we have the power to do what? To tread upon him. And over all the powers of the enemy, we have the power to cast him away. You know, cast away. I want the man of God to say, "Cast away, don't like this." You kick him. Praise the Lord. But some of us are very fearful. We'll get to that. The Spirit of God gives us the power to cast out devils. So if you are here today and you think you are demonizing one word or another, tell God that today you are not living here without him. You think there's anything in your family that is tormenting you people, say you are not living here today without him. It is in your hands. And I'll show you. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit anoints, comes upon us, fall on us, baptize us, and fill us to a size authority over the kingdom of darkness. You know, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes on you. Praise the Lord. But as you walk with God, the measure of the Holy Spirit you carry is determined by you. Can I have that glass now? And the pebble and the cups. Some people are just filled. Praise the Lord. Get a small size too. I don't want it to be here. And I want to show you something. The Spirit of God fills us. Praise the Lord. You know he's the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He is the Holy Spirit. So when you give your life to Christ, you have a small measure. He fills you, right? Praise the Lord. But there are different kinds of filling. There are different kinds of baptism. And I'll tell you, I was playing with this. But because he's the Holy Spirit, he doesn't like sin. I also get to that when I'm teaching. Praise the Lord. Let's see that everything that is here is sin. Right? So if you say, "Holy Spirit, fill me," See, the quantity you have is a function of the space you have. Right? We say every pebble here is like a sin. Anything that's in the Holy Spirit in your life. Here I can see fornication, adultery, lies, bitterness, anger, envy, gossiping, backbiting, and all. So as you begin to remove these pebbles one by one, what happens? I say, Holy Spirit, fill me. He fills you what? More. So let me say that this cup here now is empty. And that is why when you say, Holy Spirit, fill me, you have to empty yourself so that He can fill you. You have to surrender everything you have so He can fill you, right? So remember when you gave your life to Christ, you are filled. But you had a lot of impurities. God just washed them away. Every day as you struggle, they are going, right? Then suddenly you become empty. He fills you to the fullness, right? This is being filled by the Holy Spirit. But the level where you and I should get to is the level of being baptized by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? To be submerged by the Holy Spirit. At that point, you are not only have emptied yourself and He's filling you, you have submitted, you have surrendered completely. Say, my will, your will be my will. I have no will of my own. You submit. So in that instance, can you see? It is submerged. So this is when you are baptized by the Spirit. So as we are here, different people have different levels. Some people are just filled. And the Spirit is saying, you are grieving me, you want to quench me. There are different levels. I'll get to that also. But where you and I should get to is a place where we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And when you get to that point where you are fully submerged and baptized by the Holy Spirit, then we say you have the Spirit without what? Measure. Because as this one is inside this place now, can you really actually say, see, it's covered and buried inside of it? Ask your neighbor, what measure do you desire? Do you want to receive a little? Do you want to be half full? Are you willing to empty yourself so you can take all? Or do you want to be submerged? The choice is yours. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of prophecy. He releases prophecy, dreams, and vision. And that is why I am pained. When I hear some men of God say, shall I prophesy? People will shout, prophesy. You know what angers me? When the Spirit of prophecy comes, you are not the one that's going to tell him to tell you what to say. If you're telling me, shall I prophesy? It means I have it. I'm holding the key. So whenever I want to prophesy, I open the door and prophesy. But no. It's not like that. It's him that will decide when he should come. And that's why when the Spirit of prophecy comes, boom, it comes like that and it goes. Sometimes, if you ask a true prophet, what he said, he doesn't remember. Somebody will even ask you, what did I just say now? Because he just came and left. Praise the Lord. But sometimes they will say, shall I prophesy? Prophesy. And Holy Spirit does not do things for show. Go and check all the miracles of Jesus Christ. You can remove this. Check all the miracles of Jesus Christ. He quietly, he will come. He will do the work and he does what? Quietly he goes away. It's not for sure. Praise the Lord. Acts 2, 17 and 19. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. Why will the young men salvation? Because they are young. They need to understand what God wants them to do and run without vision. Right? A lot of people here are living life like that. My brother was blindfolded. You know, they don't know where they are going. And that is why you must today say, Holy Spirit, give me the blueprint for my life. God, there's nobody that God created is a mistake. If anybody has told you you're a mistake, oh, we are finished having our children before you came, just tell them to keep quiet. That they don't know what they're talking about. Nobody is a mistake. And everybody who has come onto this earth, God has a plan, a master plan for every life that is here. Nobody should belittle you. Nobody should make you feel inferior. Praise the Lord. It's not, you are not yet in the right environment to blossom. Maybe people you are seeing with are not seeing your value. But God created you for a purpose. That's why he said that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. That is why he says that we are the apple of what? His eyes. All you have to do is to ask God, God, what is your plan for my life? The God that we serve, he builds to precision. Take the human body. Some people say we came from matter, blah, 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 and became human being. If you see the clock, the white man is still discovering things about the human body every day. The complexity is not an accident. It was fearfully. When I mean fearfully, it means carefully put together. And the Holy Spirit will give you the power, the vision for your life. Because you are young, you need that vision to get your destination. Praise the Lord. He said, and the old men shall dream dreams. Why will the old men dream dreams and the young men see vision? Have you been able to find out? Because some old men will say, hey, that it is over for us. There is no need to dream. Am I with somebody here? But God is saying, no. I give you power to dream a fresh dream. Abraham said he had his own dream at 75. Moses said at 80. Praise the Lord. He said it is never late to dream dream. Maybe you are here and they're telling you it is over in your life. Maybe they're telling you there's no more hope for you. And you look at your age, look at everybody and say, ah, what can I achieve? God is saying, if you connect to me, you will dream dream. I will give you a new dream. I will empower you to accomplish that which I want you to accomplish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life and is the giver of life. Romans 8, 1 and 2, and I read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Anybody that does not know Jesus Christ is a living dead. Is a walking dead. Praise the Lord. But the moment you surrender, you repent, the Holy Spirit, remember we call it what? Spirit of life. The moment you repent, he embraces you and release life to you. And therefore, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and somebody tells you, oh, I'm going to kill you, you tell him, no, sir, you don't have that power. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. He is the Spirit of life. He determines, oh, when I'll be called back, not you. Are you with me? Maybe in the family, they say, oh, people here don't cross this age. You tell them, no, not for me. I'm a child of God. Blood bought by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Therefore, I will cross that boundary. And I prophesy into the life of somebody here. Anyone here that I've set a boundary for, I prophesy in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there will no more be any boundaries in the name of Jesus Christ. You will cross that boundary in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Let nobody limit you. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit helps us to bear fruits in our walk with God. Praise God. He's one that gives the Spirit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such, there is no law. So you want to be fruitful as a Christian is by the power of what? The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives you and I gifts to walk in the ministry. We've talked about it here several times. There are nine gifts of the Spirit. And if you're going to walk, you cannot excel in ministry without those gifts. Can anybody help me with the gifts? Bible scholars, please. Pass mic, please. I want to know my students. Praise the Lord. Can you give me the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There are nine of them. Quickly. Gift of prophecy, clap for her. Another person, quickly. Okay, another person, just talk. Okay. Yes. Faith. Huh? Healing. Discerning of spirits. Speaking in tongues. Yeah, that's speaking in tongues. Word of knowledge. The broad anchor. Word of wisdom. Eh? Yes. Any other one?
Walking of miracles.
I've said it. Okay. I think we finished it. Praise the Lord. So you cannot operate in the ministry without these gifts. You know, and spending time to teach on the Holy Spirit so that you know what you're doing. You know, people hear anointing service, they just come. They don't understand. They just come. You know, hands, you know, lay hands on them. Sometimes, you know, you profess over their life. They go and nothing changes because they don't understand the fundamentals. Praise the Lord. You need this gift to excel. As you can see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 12. For time I will not read. Praise the Lord. Do you know that you need the Holy Spirit to help you to pray? He teaches us to do what? To pray. Romans 8, 26 to 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit is making intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What he's saying here is that when you pray, remember, he dwells in us. And you allow him to help you to pray. He goes to the Father, downloads the will of the Father, and brings it down. So you are praying with accuracy. Remember who said, if this is the will of God for your life, and this is your will, in between the two of them, what do you say is? Troubles! If this is the will of God for your life on this end, and your own personal will is on this end, in between the two, you have what? Challenges. So the assignment here is to align your will to the will of God for your life. So when you want the Holy Spirit to help you to pray, he will quickly carry you. Say, this is what God wants you to do at this time. He helps you to walk according to the will of God for your life. So he helps you to pray. Holy Spirit eliminates fear and brings order. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A lot of people are fearful. Sometimes you don't blame them. They've gone through challenges. They have been blown by the enemy from different directions. And the enemy is doing that to break the person. He's creating the spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. But God has put a countermeasure inside you and I. The spirit of God, right? He said, I have not given the spirit of fear, but out of love. Praise the Lord. And out of a sermon and of what? Of power. So when that spirit of fear comes, maybe you're afraid. Oh, I won't make it in life. Silence that and says, keep quiet. Don't speak. I don't have the spirit of fear in me. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter. You see, one thing that faith does for us, do not look at the environment and decree what God wants you to decree. I've seen lives change overnight. I've seen people transformed within a year or two. That if you see them, you will never believe that they once. But if you allow the fear of what you're seeing around you to determine what you do, you will not go far. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit you know, eliminates that fear. Genesis 1, 1 to 3. Genesis 1, 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. And I've preached this several times. It's a long sermon. But what is happening here is that on God's first day at work, praise the Lord, everything was what? Upside down, scattered, without void, broken, dark. Some people's lives today, they are broken. Things are not working the way they, if anybody told them some years back, they would say it's not possible. And at the verge of giving up hope, a lot of people are depressed because of what they're going through. But from this scripture, I will encourage you never to give up. Invite the Spirit of God to come. Because when God appeared on the first day to walk, he came and saw everything, he laughed. He said, my finger. You know, Holy Spirit is the finger of God. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Praise the Lord. Some version said he brooded on it. You know, he just moved to calm the tension. You know, he began to fix things. Brought it to order. Before he said, let there be life. Therefore, I prophesy, standing on this word, into your life today. Whatever has been tormenting you, whatever that is broken in your life, whatever that it appears there's no way out, maybe it is that chaotic, and you have given up on it. Today I decree that as the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that there will be calmness, there will be order, there will be direction, there will be light in the name of Jesus. God said, let there be light. Imagine if this room is dark now. Can you put out that light? Quickly. Just press that button. All of them will go off. Boom. These ones. Boom, boom, boom. You see how dark here is? Let there be light. Praise the Lord. When there is darkness, you don't have a direction. When there is darkness, there's no revelation. When there is darkness, you can't see where you are going. Praise the Lord. But when light comes, it changes everything. Let there be light in your life. Let there be light in your family. Let there be light in your academics. Let there be light in your business. Let there be light in your neighborhood. Let there be light in this church. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. He's the Spirit of God. When he comes in, he changes everything. Praise the Lord. Then I want us to look at what happens when we don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, the absence of the Holy Spirit. I've given you some of the benefits. There are over 70 to 80 things that the Holy Spirit can do for you and I. If we take it today, it can be left for next 1 month. Praise the Lord. But what happens in the absence of the Holy Spirit? Psalm 51, 11. This is a psalm that David wrote after he repented, after, you know, committing adultery with Bathsheba. Praise the Lord. Look at what he said. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Ha! Remember, before this, Holy Spirit had not been revealed to the people. But Jesus had not come. But David had the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He said, I can lose everything. I can lose all the money in this world, God. I can lose it, but please don't take away your Holy Spirit. Because that is one, the person that will escort you back to heaven. You don't get it. He's the one that will escort you. Come, John, let me show. John, come. You see, you are going to heaven. You can't find your way. Right? Holy Spirit, hold me. Then he said, you can take away the wealth because I'm not going with it. You can take away the house, I'm not going with it. You can take away everything, I'm not going with it. But don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Because he's one that will bring me back home. That is how powerful the Holy Spirit is. And that is what you cannot do without him. Then he said, if you take away the Holy Spirit, I am finished. Imagine what happened to Saul. When they took away the Holy Spirit from him. Bible says an evil spirit. Because nature abhors vacuum. The moment they took away the Holy Spirit from Saul, an evil spirit entered into him. See the way he ended up. See the way he ended up. Because the Spirit of God was taken away from him. So when we live in sin, when we do things that we ought not to do, the Holy Spirit takes a walk. Then we begin to live life blindfolded, aimless. And the enemy will be dealing with the person. Paul Pierce. You know, when somebody is blindfolded, you know, who played that game when you are small? Hide and seek. Catch me, catch me, catch me. You go, you point the person, you run away again. Today he will bring small sickness. You say, hey, fiber, sickness. He will laugh. And that one is finishing, he will kick the person again. Boom. He say, hey, my leg. He will laugh. As I did again, he just do, boom, on your head. And the person said, because the person is not seeing. Because the person has not the Spirit of God. But when you have the Spirit of God, when he comes, he knows those who bear the mark. Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6:17, he says, I bear the mark of the living God. Henceforth, let no man trouble me. Let no man trouble me. Because he knows they see the mark. The moment you have a Christ, you are branded in heaven, and hell will take note. They say clear. They say, let's be watching when the fire has come down small. Because you have the Spirit of fire around. Remember, Holy Spirit is called what? Spirit of fire. You have fire. That's why he said he makes his ministers what? Flaming fire. Why? The Holy Spirit inside of you. The Spirit of fire inside of you makes you what? A flaming fire. Praise the Lord. So when Holy Spirit walks away, the joy of salvation lives. Your joy, all those fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, blah, blah, all of them will do what? They will just go. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me. That means keep me, sustain me. That means uphold, keep me, sustain me with the what? Free spirit, with your Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So one is cast out of the presence of God the moment sin comes in, the person loses his joy and peace. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So the moment the Holy Spirit leaves, the presence of God leaves the person's life. And that is why you cannot do without the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Sin creates a barrier between us and God. The presence of sin is one sure way to lose the presence of the Holy Spirit. The devil can offer you anything. You know, sin sometimes looks good. I'm into marketing. I always see the devil carry a basket of products. I don't know if he met a good marketer. He said, I'll go buy glasses now. He said, can't you wear glasses? But this tie is old. Take tie. He said, I'm wearing tie. He said, I want to buy your jacket. He said, Did that come out for you? Okay, this is your belt. You need to change it. They will sell you different. If you don't like this, you must like this. If you don't like this, you must. That's how the devil carries his product. So I want you to visualize the devil carrying a basket on his head. Buy adultery. I wish there's a basket here. Buy fornication. Take. You said no. He'll put on the game. How about lies? It's good for you. It will help you escape that punishment. He said, no. How about pride? You are handsome, rich. The world, you know, is waiting for you to happen. Praise the Lord. You know, pride of life, lust of the flesh and the eyes. The devil will offer these things. And that is why we have to be very careful. But if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you are able to resist. But when he sees you, he will see the mark. He said, leave him all. He won't buy. I know him. This one. Now, SU. If they call you SU, that means you are doing something right. If your friends are committing sin and when you come, they keep quiet, you are doing something right. But if they are committing sin and when you come, they will laugh. Go and check. Oh. But you see, when you carry the Holy Spirit, you carry a presence. I know of somebody that they are doing something in the office. They said, don't tell him. When I heard aloud, I said, that is good. I said, oh, please don't tell the person, because you know the person will not accept. Are you with me? When you move around with it, you carry the presence of God. So if you enter a place and the demons and those people are happy and okay with you, check the quantity. Remember we explained. Maybe you just have a little measure, filling. Because as the measure or the filling, you know, drains away. Like my brother says, if the anointing that you carry has a crack and is leaking away, over time, you only see those impurities inside of this. Nothing is left again. They say, anointing has run dry. May our anointing never run dry in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Sin is a barrier. Isaiah 59, 1 to 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit is called holy. Why? Because he dwells in holy vessels. Let me show you. Isaiah 57, 15. Why is it called the Holy Spirit? Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus said the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You want to walk with the Holy Spirit, you have to strive for holiness. And humility is key. Show me a man that is very proud, I'll show you a man that the Spirit of God is not working with. Because God says, if you are proud, I, God, will do what? I will resist you. Praise the Lord. So true repentance and humility are fundamentals in partnering with the Holy Spirit. You want to walk with the Holy Spirit, you need to surrender. It's not, but you see, he's a gentle spirit. He will not force himself over you. When people say, oh, Holy Spirit, invade us. Mm-mm. Before you say invade us, you have to submit yourself first. He can never invade you against your will. You must submit. You must submit willingly. They are saying, use me as you will. That's what they mean by that invading. But some people think they can believe it in sin. Come to church on Sunday morning, Holy Spirit, invade me. It doesn't work. Praise the Lord. You remember those impurities there. If they are still there, invade me, say, I can't find space. Holy Spirit, fill me, I can't find space. I wish I have another cup that is full of sand. Fill the cup. Okay, water will still enter. Praise the Lord. He said, fill me, say, I can't find space. Praise the Lord. And that is why we must empty ourselves by living right. Praise the Lord. Another level that you deal with the Holy Spirit that can make him to walk away. The Bible says you can grieve him. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. And how do you grieve him? He's telling you something, you keep on disobeying, right? You grieve him. He said you can quench him. Quench him means you have opened the door. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't need you. You close the door. Remember, three different levels. Grieve. Quench. Right? The final level is to rebel against the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, that's a dangerous place to be. Let me tell you, let me show you what's going to happen. I'll read all the verses. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, these are things that grieve the Holy Spirit, bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, as unkindness grieves him, to one another. Tender hearted, forgiving one another. Forgiveness is key. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So when you are in bitterness, unforgiveness, you have wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, unkindness, malice, unforgiveness, you do what? You grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't say, oh, that's the way we are in our family. We are hot tempered. And you say you're a Christian. I can assure you, you are doing what? You are grieving what? The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Then we'll move to the next level. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. It says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of what? Evil. He's been telling you, don't do this, don't go here. Every day you are in the midst of evil, appearance of evil. You do what? You quench him. That means you're telling him, keep quiet. Let me put it this way now. Can I have somebody? Two people come. Let's say you are not the devil, though. Okay, let me ask the rule of the devil. I'm not the devil. Praise the Lord. You know, so as I'm trying to market something, when he tries to buy, you are the Holy Spirit, you do what? You hold his hand and just put him down. Then you say, leave me. Bread. Bread. Lies. Lies. Buy lies. Buy lies. Buy lies. Buy lies. Praise the Lord. Did you get it? You see, when the devil is hawking and you are trying to buy, the Holy Spirit inside of you will try to stop you. But when he tries, you say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. What happens? You quench him. You are telling him, keep quiet. Keep quiet. I know he's a gentle spirit. He'll quietly do what? Walk away. That takes us to the next level, which is rebelling. Isaiah 63, 10 to 11. Don't worry, we'll soon round up. Isaiah 63, 10 to 11. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be there. Let's stop there. They rebelled. They vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be what? So when you grieve him, you quench him, you rebel against him, what happens? When he leaves, now he's now on the opposite side. And because he has left, remember what happened to that man that they cast out the demon from? And he went out, the demons went out, they came back, right? So when the Holy Spirit takes a walk, the evil spirit enters. And because there's an evil spirit inside, you automatically become the enemy of what? Of the Holy Spirit. So he will begin to fight against that person. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. And that is why we have to be careful how we treat the Holy Spirit. Because the moment you get to the point of rebelling against the Holy Spirit, you become his enemy. And he will fight you. Praise the Lord. He will fight you. Now the next level is, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? How does it come? I want to be very quick on this. How does it come? You know, in the Old Testament, God gave an example. He told Moses how to prepare the anointing oil. The anointing oil is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit, right? Sometimes when the oil is used through that medium, the power flows. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we use oil to anoint you. And you wonder, I've gone for crusades. Several crusades. We've done about 21 universities, right? About 21 universities. And I've seen, sometimes you lay hands, you speak, nothing happens. And I just hear the Spirit say, bring oil. And the moment you pour oil on the person, boom! The demon takes a walk. Sometimes, the Holy Spirit comes like sound. You just hear a big sound. Boom! Bible says, sometimes, like a mighty rushing wind. Praise the Lord. Like a mighty rushing wind. Sometimes, like tongues of what? Tongues of fire. Remember the spirit of fire? Spirit of burning. The wind of the Holy Spirit will blow somebody here today. That amen wasn't loud enough. Somebody will hear that sound today. Praise the Lord. Another way is by, let me read Acts 2, 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire. And it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Another way to receive the Holy Spirit is by laying on hands. Lay hands on you, you receive it by faith. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 34:9. Can I have the pianist here? Deuteronomy 34:9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded. You see, Moses was about to go. And as he lay hands on Joshua, praise the Lord, boom, he received the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That was the Old Testament. In Acts 8, 17 and 19. Acts 8, 17 and 19. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hand on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Of course, you know what happened at the rest of the story. They said, perish with your money. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Acts 19:6. I'm doing this to prepare your mind so that when we start praying, you know what you're asking for. You won't be a passenger in this place. You won't just come and be somebody who's walking through the church. There will be a change because you came here today. Praise the Lord. Acts 19:6. He said, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You know, these people gave their life to Christ and Paul asked them, have you been baptized? They said, the only one we know is out of water. We've not risen. They said, okay, come. Boom. Boom. Well, I've seen it happen over the years in the ministry. I had a brother who, came. He said he wants to speak. He wants to receive the Holy Spirit. We lay hands, nothing happened. One dollar of us combined, laid our hands on him. He spoke for 1 week. His wife now, then came to us. Then they were still cutting. He said, Pastor, is he normal? Has he gone mad? He was the person that told me I was going to be a pastor. And he also gave me the flash points, the warning points that I should never cross. Praise the Lord. If you ask him, he didn't remember. It was the Spirit that spoke to me. He spoke for 1 week. We've seen him doing some of our workers training. He will lay hands on people. They begin to speak. That's one of the ways. Because we're going to lay hands on people here today. But it's a function of, are you empty? Do you want God to fill you? Do you want to be submerged? Are there pebbles inside? You need to empty yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want you to reflect. You've heard about the Holy Spirit. You've now understood the benefits of walking with the Holy Spirit. You've also known the implication of grieving the Holy Spirit. You've also known how He appears. You've also known how you can receive Him. Let us rise on our feet. I want everyone here to lift their hands to God. All eyes closed. All eyes closed.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.